And we are excited to invite you here every evening, 5 to 7 p.m. on Public Radio WEAA, absolutely the voice of the community. We are excited to welcome former federal prosecutor, former assistant state's attorney. He ran for mayor of the city of Baltimore. Tharoo Vignaraja is joining us right now. Tharoo, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Good evening, Anthony and Kara. So nice to be on.
Good evening. It's great to have you here. I found it fascinating. I read a commentary, an op-ed that you wrote in the Baltimore Sun. It really educated me. It gave me information I did not know before. But you wrote about the maglev train and that it really shows some very small thinking the way the city of Baltimore has reacted.
Yeah, I was very disappointed to learn that the city had sent a formal letter of objection to resist the maglev train that was proposed that would link up D.C. and Baltimore with a 15-minute bullet train, create 74,000 construction jobs over the next 7 years, take 16 million car trips off the road, lots and lots of reasons to really like this new technology train. By the way, it already exists in Japan, China, and much of Europe. A great opportunity at no cost to Baltimore, and we inexplicably said no.
Now, this has all the makings of economic development, job creation. Now, maybe I just don't know, Kara. Maybe I'm not a decision maker, and I just don't know. But those are the kinds of things that we in Baltimore need to be doing, putting people to work and developing the kind of sustainable future this train really reports to bring to the city of Baltimore.
I couldn't agree more. And you're talking about linking up a city that is increasingly unaffordable, the political capital of the world, with a city that has a 40% vacancy rate.
Wow.
Two proposed terminal locations would be Cherry Hill or Camden Yards. And I think there's a lot of good reasons to think Cherry Hill may be a tremendous beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
And let me be fair to the other side. They're worried about people that are currently there.
All right.
They're worried about the environmental impact. But each and every one of those concerns can be addressed. And the job of city leaders is not just to spot the problem, but to develop solutions to answer them. And that is just not happening in Baltimore. And I was very discouraged to hear that in the first 6 months of the new administration, without any public input or public hearings, to just send a letter saying, we object, we're not supporting this, when it costs us nothing, I was very surprised and disappointed.
Now, maybe you can educate us on this. There is no cost to the city of Baltimore, but this has the potential to create a huge number of sustainable jobs. And there is so much construction work that will be associated with this, including the building of a train station, a hub that will be where the train would leave the city of Baltimore and go to Washington.
Exactly. So let's put this in perspective. This is not going to replace Amtrak.
That's right.
Technology. It's called magnetic levitation. This is how people get around Japan, China, Germany, much of Europe. This has been around for decades there. It is incredibly safe. It is incredibly economical and environmentally friendly. But we in America just don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is a proposal. The federal government, the Japanese government, and private investors would put the $12 to $14 billion up to make this happen. The first leg would be between D.C. and Baltimore. It would continue in the future from Baltimore to Philadelphia and New York and Boston. The commute time from Baltimore to New York City would be 45 minutes.
Wow.
It would revolutionize Baltimore. And you're talking about a city that's losing, you guys know this, a percent of our population every year. We are hemorrhaging people to the suburbs. To have a reason to live in Baltimore, whether you work here or whether you work in D.C. or New York, that would be tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear critics say, well, what about gentrification? You're going to push black people out of Cherry Hill. I say, no, absolutely not. Nobody wants that. Certainly not the advocates, but you got to come up with solutions. If you're a homeowner that paid off the mortgage years ago, you inherited the house from your mother or grandmother, well, let's put in a regulation that says the annual property taxes can't increase at more than inflation, because that not right now is what they're paying. But if the property value jumped by, 100%, you don't want to see their property taxes go up by 100%.
That's right.
Well, put in a regulation that stops that from happening. The public housing tenants that live in Cherry Hill right now, guarantee them affordable housing at the exact same price in the new developments in Cherry Hill. If you're worried about pushing them out, then don't push them out.
Right.
That's not what's happening. Just over the weekend, we were fighting with the city because they're pushing current residents of Poppleton out for this New York City developer. We're already doing it in places where we don't need to. These are families that are begging to stay in the houses they've lived for decades, and we're pushing them out. Well, stop doing that. That's the answer to gentrification. And candidly, one of the reasons I was so frustrated is we have an opportunity to forge a new model, a new paradigm for growth without gentrification, for development without displacing the native people that have lived there forever. And wouldn't that be refreshing if Baltimore was a model for something positive instead of being the punchline for every list of terrible things that's happening
right.
in the country?
Right. Thank you. So with the Maglev, we know that there's no direct air pollution emissions, and the carbon CO2 emissions is very low. The concerns, some of the concerns that I read about was the radiation and it going through the wildlife refuges in Maryland. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, this has been safely operated literally all across Europe and Asia for decades. I don't mean like 3 or 4 years ago. I mean going back to the 70s and 80s and 90s, been around for decades. The technology is simply that you use magnets to elevate the train so you don't have the friction of the rails, and it therefore goes a lot faster. It goes 311 miles an hour is the speed that these bullet trains go from D.C. to Baltimore. The wildlife refuge concern, Cara, is absolutely right. And the proposed alignments are of concern. There was an impact study that does suggest that would have an impact on the wildlife refuge. But again, that same report indicates that if you do what's called deep tunnel underground options, that it would have virtually no impact on the wildlife refuge. It's more expensive, so we should make the private investors and the Japanese government pony up that additional cost. We should not sacrifice the only research wildlife refuge in the country, which is Patuxent, just south of the city. But there's a way to do it. It is certainly more expensive, but if you care about the environment, you should pay for it. And frankly, it's not Baltimore City or the state of Maryland that's paying for it. It would be the federal government, the Japanese government, and private investors. So there, we do need a modification of the plan. Going through the Patuxent Wildlife Refuge, in my mind, is a deal breaker. But you can do this in an environmentally conscious way that, again, would take 16 million car trips off the road each year. The carbon emissions reduction, the congestion reduction, even before we get to the 74,000 construction jobs, would be of tremendous value. But you do have to get around the Patuxent Wildlife Refuge, no question about that.
Thank you. If you would like to get in a conversation with Thiru, call us at WEAA 410-319-8888. Mr. Thiru, I just want to know, if it costs so much to build it, what's the average ticket cost? Would the average person be able to afford to ride on this train?
Yeah, it's a fair question. And the average ticket price would be about $60. And that's too much for a lot of people. The range of prices is about $25 to $100. So if you buy your ticket in advance, if you have a commuter pass, the price would be much more affordable. The current price on Acela, by the way, is $41. So the low end of the bullet train would actually be cheaper than the current price for the Acela. But let's be honest, high initial prices is part of the cost of new technologies. I mean, this was an objection to airplanes and iPhones when they first came out, too. But now you can get a $59 flight on Southwest to Los Angeles, this weekend, because eventually competition and the market catches up. frankly, if you have a competitor with the MARC train and Amtrak, you're not only going to see reduced prices on the maglev bullet train, you're also going to see reduced prices on these other things as well. But again, let's use a little bit of innovation here. If you're concerned about making sure that, that ordinary citizens can afford this, let's put some regulations in. Let's require that the annual commuter pass be capped at 5% of your annual salary. So if you're a line cook at a restaurant in D.C., it's going to cost a lot less than if you're the CEO of a company or a hedge fund manager who wants to live in Baltimore. You should be able to charge more for people that can afford it, but give discounts to people who can't. That's the answer to affordability, not let's not build it at all.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I agree.
So as I read your op-ed through, I was so impressed. You didn't point fingers. You didn't attack people with the mayor or anybody else for their differing opinion. You just said, look, let's state the facts here. Let's all be nice and reasonable. So I'm thinking, is it too late? Has the mayor and his planning director and transportation director shut the door on maglev, or are we still in a negotiating position?
I sure hope we're in a position where people can listen to the better angels, listen to some reason and common sense, and reverse course. We have sent a letter of objection in, but it is absolutely within the power of the mayor to rescind that letter and to reverse course. Part of what leaders have to do is sometimes look at new information.
Yep.
Maybe there's some perspectives that they hadn't taken account of, and modify their position. That happens from time to time. I've had to change my positions when I found out new information. Even after I wrote this, in fact, some people that were on the other reached out to me and said, hey, you didn't know about this, this, or that. Would you mind sitting down and talking with us?
Mm.
And I said, of course. You know, if I come back in a year and say, gosh, I didn't realize that, you know, it was going to, you know, cause the sun to explode, then of course I would reverse and revise my position. But one of the reasons, I think there's almost some poetry to this. I mean, we were the first city, we were the city that built the first leg of the American Railroad.
Wow.
You know, 1828, July 4th, 100 years almost to the day after the founding of the town of Baltimore, in order to compete with New York City, which had just built the Erie Canal, we laid the cornerstone of the B&O Railroad. And you could go faster and cheaper from Baltimore to Ohio than you could by sea to the Great Lakes through the Erie Canal. And it was because we had leaders back then that knew that their decisions would outlive them, that their investments wouldn't be vindicated for years to come. And they made those decisions anyway. Charles Carroll said that the cornerstone laying of the B&O Railroad was the second most important thing that he did in his whole life, the first one being the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Wow.
He died 20 years before the railroad reached Ohio, but he did it anyway because that was what you do. That was the investments you made for generations to come.
Mm.
And, you know, look, I'm certainly disappointed by what the city has done here, but I don't think it helps anyone to shout or say names. I think the goal here is to educate people about this tremendous opportunity for the city, for the region, for the residents of Cherry Hill in particular, and for us not to turn our back on it just because we can't see some of the solutions that are needed. You know, as I say in the op-ed, with some ingenuity and elbow grease, you can do an awful lot in this world, and this is the kind of leadership I think Baltimore needs right now.
410-319-8888 is the number if you want to join our conversation. Charles is on the line. Charles, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Yes, good evening.
Welcome.
Yes, I believe the reason why the maglev is not being accepted is because Baltimore cannot support two projects. You know, we already have Kevin Plank's Peninsula.
Oh.
And that would take away from Kevin Plank's Peninsula. I mean, we've already put up the TIF money. So would we actually build something that would say that project of Kevin Plank's would be, you know, a disaster? So then we would lose in that also?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to look at how they're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people are going, why are you doing all of this? You know, give it to us because we need to deal with our neighborhoods. But since they want to do this big business, you got to understand that big business cannot operate when you have somebody taking all of your business away from you, taking all your customers away from you or past you.
Wow.
You know, they're going to be on a peninsula, so they're going to be off on the side. So it's not like they're going to be just dropping them off right there like they're Hershey Park or something. You know what I mean?
Tharu Vingaraja, tell me what you think about that. He's saying we can't manage these two projects. I can't imagine that makes sense to you.
Look, our city has got to be able to walk and chew gum. We have to be able to do Preakness and rebuild the Pimlico racetrack, even as we address the highway to nowhere in Harlem Park, even as we develop EBDI just south of Hopkins, even as we think about projects that would help Cherry Hill. And if we can't do that with a $3.5 billion budget and 12,000 employees, then we're not managing our resources effectively. Now, there is one group that may stand to lose. You know, it was a week after Amtrak executives testified about the cost to Amtrak and the fact that they had gotten federal subsidies already to expand their lines. Their objection I can understand. Amtrak right now has a monopoly on the only profitable rail line in the country. The Eastern Corridor is the only profitable rail track in the nation because we actually have a lot of people that are traveling between D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, Newark, New York, and Boston with a stop in Providence. I didn't mean to skip the folks in Rhode Island. and that's great. That's a tremendous opportunity. That's the same reason why these maglev trains crisscross Europe and Asia, because they have a high concentration of people in nearby cities. Kevin Plank and Port Covington ought to be excited about the opportunity. The property values would go up. The people could live in D.C. and commute to Baltimore for jobs and vice versa. Connecting us to another major city, that's not competition. That's an opportunity. And I think it's that small-minded approach that it's always an either-or. It's growth or gentrification. It's development or displacement. When, in fact, we actually could do right by the people in Cherry Hill and also encourage development, that we could have growth without gentrification, that we could have development without displacement.
And you have said, which makes sense, if we have real concerns, and honestly, I don't want to belittle the concerns of the environmental concerns and the gentrification concerns, but you can write policy that takes care of that. You can write policy that will not allow that to happen. You can take control of this situation with a economic partner that really wants to bring growth, jobs, and economic development to your city. I hope that the mayor and the leaders that have to make this decision will listen to everyone involved in this and make a decision that's in the best interest of the people of the city of Baltimore.
I couldn't agree more. And if you know the mayor's folks are listening to this, here's what I would encourage. Have a public hearing.
Yes.
And Cara and Anthony, you can tell me if I'm wrong. No. I don't think there has even been a public discussion about what could be the most important infrastructure investment in Baltimore history, going back to the American Railroad in 1828. Well, if you have that public hearing, use that hearing as a reason, as an opportunity to say, look, I listened to the people think it's a good idea, therefore we're going to move forward. I listened to the environmentalists, they had concerns about the Patuxent Wildlife Refuge, so we are going to require the builders of this to go around the Patuxent Wildlife Refuge or underneath the ground. And so whatever the concerns are, affordability, gentrification, environmental impact, let's hear those concerns, come up with some solutions, and move forward. To write a letter 6 months in that says no, no, no. This, by the way, wasn't some middle management functionary. This was our planning director and the head of DOT that sent this letter. If the mayor was unaware of it, that's not great management, but you know, let him take that as a lesson, reverse course, and move forward. If the mayor was aware of it, then let him get some better information, have a public hearing, because this is a tremendous missed opportunity for the city to see.
We are losing you. We keep you go in and out. I do want to take this opportunity. It would be wrong of me. Now, you know what's coming. I think a lot of people use the example, and they use you as the example, Theroux, that oftentimes people run for office, people come up with great ideas, and then they absolutely disappear. We hear nothing from them after they lose an election. You have been part of major conversations, major, major opportunities in the city to discuss important issues. You don't seem like you're going anywhere through Vignaraja.
Well, look, I appreciate you flagging the concern. I mean, a lot of people do retreat after a loss. Can you guys hear me okay, by the
way? Yes, we can. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think that's natural. I mean, you're potentially hurt. You know, you just mad. Nobody likes to lose. But I think if you got to put your pride aside and understand that if this was always about the city and not about yourself, the election may be over, but the crisis is not.
Wow.
And what I promised myself, what I promised my supporters, is that I wouldn't go anywhere. I'd still be a voice, as you guys are every day, a voice for the community.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to do it in a constructive and respectful way. Sometimes I'm a little bit more pointed than others. But there is so much promise in this city. You know, to be the city that creates the first leg of the next century's rail system, when we were the city that created the first leg of the American Railroad, what a source of pride that would be for generations to come. Those are places where I hope I can still, you know, share my perspective and encourage people to listen. And with your guys' blessing, I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we look forward to having you on our show again, talking about this and other issues. Theroux Vignaraja, thank you so much. Former Deputy Attorney General for the state of Maryland and former candidate for mayor of the city of Baltimore. I've enjoyed our conversation, Theroux.
Me too. Thank you so much. And congratulations to both of you
on
this terrific new show.
I appreciate
thank
it.
You.